Ready? All right. Good morning to you.
Morning.
At least I don't have to live up to some kind of introduction. Amen. Just turn me loose and say, get after it. So let's go do that together. Thank you for letting me be your guest preacher this week. It's been my privilege to be here before. It was actually October of 2017 when I was last here, and this magnificent building wasn't here, and there's been a lot of labor, a lot of toil and sweat and money spent for this wonderful facility. I'm just so proud of you, and thank you for letting me share a part of it today as I come to be your preacher during this global conference. The faith part of global conference is you, Faith Bible Baptist Church. The global part is so that you and I will be able to look beyond ourselves. I know that you've got a great building. I think it would stack a lot of hay in here. I'm not sure. But we need to look out. We need to look beyond. Make sure we don't get stuck on who we are here and what we're doing here, and realize that there's a world beyond us that needs what we have. Businesses are always interested in defining themselves. They brand themselves. They get a look and they get a product and they work on that. Spend a lot of time and a lot of money making sure that people know what they have to offer. A company hired a company to give a new brand to them. They needed a new identity. And so they spent $100,000 with a company to research and define them for that $100,000. Well, in a few days, the new design came back, and it was really underwhelming. It was so simple that the company that hired the design company was really disappointed at how simple it was. And so finally, after confronting the designer with their disappointment, the designer simply said, the fee is in line, the $100,000 is in line and appropriate, because I have years of experience in knowing what to leave out. I hope that you as a church, and especially those who make up this congregation, have come to understand that there's a lot of things that we can leave out. But there's one thing that we dare not leave out, and that's the gospel. It's what the Bible calls the simplicity that is in Christ. I think some people have the idea, well, preacher, I got that taken care of way back there. Believing that the gospel is really the entry into the Christian life. When in fact, if we understand all that God did for us with Christ dying in our place, it's not simply the entry, it is the entirety of our Christian life. Everything is built around that, and because of that. And we need to understand that. The most pressing need of Christianity today is not some kind of new strategy or an updated message, but a return to the old, old story that's ever new and never old. The story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm calling this message the whole gospel, the global message. And I'm not intending to convince you of anything. I just want you to pay attention to the Bible today and help us realize that what we need and what the world needs that we have is the gospel. I think we've made some wrong assumptions. I think we've assumed that everybody knows the gospel. And yet there are studies that help us to realize that there are people groups in the world who've never heard the gospel. There are people who wait for someone to bring them the message of the gospel. Old time Baptist preacher by the name of B.H. Carroll, who was the first president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, 100 years ago founded that, made this a remark. He said, "It often happens in towns and cities that a new generation grows up that knows nothing about the vital and important doctrines of the gospel." I wonder if that's true. I wonder if maybe somebody's grown up in this church but really doesn't understand the gospel. Well, the gospel deserves and demands that we identify it. What is the gospel? And what does it mean for a world in need of it? Well, today I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1. And let's read God's Word with an open Bible. I hope that you brought a good Bible with you and that you'll read along with me today. It will help us as we understand God's intention as we've gathered today. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 14. "I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." There you have it a couple of times. In those verses that I've just read, you have the word gospel. How should we define that? You know, words, to be understood, have to have a definition to them. They can't just be words hung out for people to identify them in the way they want. For example, if you have a bottleneck, it means something to a glass blower and means something else to somebody stuck on a freeway. If you have a ball, it means something to a debutante, but it means something different to an athlete. If you have a drum, it means something to a musician, but it means something else to a mechanic. What does the gospel mean? Some people think it only means something that's generally true, like the gospel truth. You know, that's the gospel truth. Well, the gospel has to have a biblical definition for it to be really the gospel. So what is the gospel? Well, the word means good news. Amen. Now you'd be surprised that most people that associate what we do here as a church, for them they don't see that as good news, really? There's been so much bad representation of what we are and what we believe and what we want to advance, and some people don't realize that it's really good news. But I believe it is. I believe you and I have something that the world definitely needs. And most of us are acquainted with good news, although we don't hear much of it. I remember so few a time that I heard this good news: "Jerry, you're passed. You passed on to the next grade." For me, that was not just good news, that was miraculous. It was like, wow, what happened to Jerry? How did he get along so well? Well, I think it's also good news for a soldier who comes home and said, "The war is over." I told them in the early service today about a man that I sat by in the airplane yesterday flying from DFW to Denver. He was an Iraq and an Afghanistan veteran. He was in a medic team, and so it caused me to try to connect the dots with him. And I asked him, I said, "Well, what would have happened to you had you died on one of your missions?" He said, "Well, I would have gone to heaven." And I said, "Well, that's great news." I said, "How do you know that?" He said, "Well, when I was 14 years old, I accepted Christ as my Savior in a Baptist church." And I said, "Well, thank God for Baptists. Amen." They at least got that right. And thank God for a young man who he mentioned to me how comforting it was to him to know that he was a saved, born-again child of God. I'm glad that he knew that. You know, good news to a single person is, hey, I'm getting married. You know, the urge to merge is real. You know that? You want to have that partner in life, and that's great news. And it's almost surprising to some of us that you found somebody that would live with you. Amen. It's good news, when that married couple says, hey, we're having our first child. I remember that. My son turned 50 this year. And what a surprise it is to realize that, you know, that's God's blessing for not killing your kid. They grow up and they have your grandson. It's just a wonderful thing. It's good news. And then it's good news for a family that's got 5 kids that said, hey, we're not having a kid. Amen. That's good news for them. They're wondering how they can afford the ones they've got. It's good news for an older person when the doctor says it's not cancer. It's good news. We know about good news, but the great message of the Christian faith is we have not only good news, we've got the best news.
Amen.
And the best news is that your sins can be forgiven. God loves you and He's made a way for you to have an eternal relationship with Him. You can go to heaven. You don't have to go to hell. You can have your sins forgiven. You can live a life of purpose. My, what good news we do have. What is this good news? Well, let's center our thoughts today on Romans chapter 1 verse 16. You have it there in your Bible open, don't you? Let me read it for you again. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Let me point out 3 things to you today. The first is this: the gospel is Christ-centered. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If you've been born again, you are a follower and a devotee to a person.
Amen.
You're not following a bunch of rules. You're not going through an empty ritual. You're not looking into ancient teachings. You are now devoting your life to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, all other religions are about teachings. If you were following the religion of Islam, you would be following the teachings of Muhammad, their principal prophet. If you were following Buddha, then you would be investigating the levels of enlightenment that are taught by Buddha. If you're following Hinduism, you're going to look into the 33 million gods before whom you will bow and pray and ask to intercede into your life. But if you're a Christian, you're a Christ follower. You're following a person, a real person who came to this earth, who came in human flesh, who was full of grace and truth, virgin born. I don't understand that. I'll be the first to admit I don't know how God pulled that off, but it was a God thing. And you don't have to understand everything to believe things. I don't understand electricity, but I'm not going to sit around in the dark until I do. I believe that you can benefit from things you don't fully understand. And I don't fully understand the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, but I'm not going to die and go to hell until I do believe it, because you will believe it someday. See, Jesus was an earthly child with a heavenly father and an earthly mother. And He was as old as His father and older than His mother. He was the God-man who came to this earth to live the life we cannot live. There's nobody in the building that can live a perfect life. I heard about a preacher that was preaching about, did anyone know in the building about anybody who was perfect? And an old man sitting in the back held his hand up. And the preacher stopped. He was amazed. And the preacher pointed to the man and said, sir, are you saying you're perfect? And he said, no, but my wife's first husband must have been. Yikes. Sorry about that. Hey, nobody's perfect. The only perfect one was Jesus Christ. He was without sin. He lived the life you cannot live and did not live and would not live. And He died the death you should have died. He was crucified as a common criminal. Why did He do that? He did that to make payment before God, who is holy and just. He can't just let you off for your sin. There has to be someone to pay your sin debt, and that someone was Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also hath suffered for sin, not His own, but ours. For Christ has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust. He was innocent, we were guilty. For Christ has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God." Do you know the only way that you can come before God is through Jesus Christ? He's the only way. Now, there are many religions in the world, but there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ and what He did. Because the Bible says, "For Christ hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh." That is, He was crucified. "But quickened by the Spirit." That is, He is physically resurrected after being dead for 3 days. That's the gospel. The gospel is how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That one truth transcends all other truths. Jesus Christ is the center of the gospel. And that one truth is what should define you as a church. Now, among many things that you will preach, as your pastor will ably do, the main thing should be the main thing, and that is people who come into this place should know about Jesus Christ. We have all preferences about different things, but there is no preference when it comes to this. Jesus is our message. The gospel is Christ-centered. One man warned that the greatest danger churches face is not secularism outside the church, but rather it is reduced Christianity within the church. I think some churches are trying to make themselves fit the culture, but we have something that the culture needs, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, number one, the gospel is Christ-centered. It's all about Him and very little about us. I'll mention the little about us in the third point. But the second point is this. Not only is the gospel Christ-centered, the gospel is also life-changing. Look at it in verse 16 again. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." God offers you a new life, a different life, a better life. The Bible calls it salvation. Now, before we are saved, we are in a condition of lostness. We are in a condition of alienation from God. And as a result of what Christ did for us in dying in our behalf, He now brings us to God, and our lives are amazingly transformed, and the gospel is life-changing. Some people struggle with their life. They're not happy with their life. They wonder what's missing from their life. And what's missing is you need a Savior. You need the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. You need Him as the one who forgives your sins. You see, Jesus takes care of all this life-changing. For instance, go back in your past and think about all the things you're guilty of. How are you going to atone for that? I mean, even if you were to change your life from this day on, how do you take care of that? Well, the good news of the gospel is Christ died for all of our sins, past, present, and future. All the things that your life is so messed up about because of the consequences of those sins, Christ can forgive you of those sins. So the penalty, which is death. Now you have a relationship with God. You're not separated from God. You now have God in your life through Christ. But now presently, what am I going to do? How am I going to live my life? You're going to live it to the glory of God. And now you have the power of God residing in you. The Holy Spirit lives within the life of believers. And now He transforms your life. You have a bigger focus. You have a global focus. You want to see other people come to know what you know. And now your life here means something. It's more than just having a job and having a marriage and having children and having a retirement. It's really about having a life that is completely engulfed and surrounded and filled with the glory of God, because you now have salvation. By the way, God offers salvation, not probation.
Amen.
When you're saved, you're really saved. You're not put on a 2-year probation period to see if it works out. God will see to it in your life that your life is changed. And God will give you the power to overcome things that you've not been able to overcome. And God will give you grace to endure things you never have been able to endure before. Because the gospel is life changing, and it's also eternity changing. God changes your eternity. You know, one of these days you're going to slip out of this world, and somebody's going to stand over you, and they're going to put their hand on your chest or up around your neck, and they're going to say, "He's gone." I serve as a chaplain for one of the local hospitals, a volunteer chaplain, and about every fifth week or so I'll be on call. And generally, I'm on call from the ER where somebody has come in under full arrest. And they've had a heart attack or some other kind of tragedy that's happened. And that morning, the wife or the husband, the children, woke up not thinking that this would be the day that their loved one would leave this world. And it's not a happy job for me, but a job that I feel that I can do and help families to go through that process of that grief and that loss. But it's always a shocking thing. And I want to shock you today. I want to shock you. One of these days somebody's going to stand over you and they're going to say, "He's gone. She's gone." The question is, where? Where? Have you slipped out into a Christless eternity because you forfeited the opportunity, you put it off until finally your day came and you were unprepared? Or can you say, "Oh my, we'll miss them so much, but we know they're in heaven. We know they're in heaven." Not because they were good people or because they did something that gained them that entrance into heaven, but because they knew Jesus Christ. It's life-changing. The gospel is unto salvation. And then third, the gospel is also breathtaking. Look at it in the Bible. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation." Listen, to everyone that believeth. Amen. To everyone that believeth.
Amen.
You know, there's so many things that aren't for everyone. For me, everyone doesn't include running a marathon. For me, it doesn't include powerlifting 600 pounds. That's not for me. I'm going to let somebody else try that if they choose to. Matter of fact, I'm getting a lot of my exercise by being a pallbearer for my jogger friends. You'll finally get that later on. Hey, but for everyone? You mean everybody in this building can be born again, saved, and forgiven by God? Amen. Yes, you can. It's for everyone. That's the scope of it. Everyone you meet this week in your outs and abouts, down at Walmart. I mean, how could we get by without Walmart? Amen. I mean, down at Walmart. I mean, at the doctor's appointment. Wherever you're going this week, Everyone is a part of the scope of the gospel. Every picture you see about some foreign field and some face of a person that looks different from you, the gospel is for them. To everyone. I think I told them at the 10 o'clock service today that I flew on a plane, and yesterday I told you a little bit about that, but I didn't tell you about this. I was right behind first class. Wow. How close can you be and not be there? I was sitting beside two guys that were pretty big. They weren't spilling over too much into my seat, but I was the little dude. But boy, I was right there. I mean, like right here and then right behind that little curtain. Why do they dangle that little curtain in front of you? Like, you can't get in there. I could have, but that wasn't for me. I took my seat behind first class. But I'll tell you, there's one thing that I'm going first class. I'm going to heaven first class. Yeah, and it's not because of me. It's because of Jesus Christ. He offers that to everyone. But listen, not just the scope of it. Think about this, the simplicity. To everyone that believeth. You know, you can't work your way to heaven. You can't do enough good deeds. I talk to people regularly and they think that they're going to work their way to heaven. I always ask them this. How much works do you have to do to go to heaven? They don't know. I ask them, how long do you do those works to go to heaven? They don't know. And the reason you don't know those things is because they're not defined in the Bible, because you don't go to heaven on your own works, on your own goodness. You go there because of Jesus Christ, who died for you, was buried, and rose again, and now He offers to everyone that believes full salvation. Amen. That's the whole gospel. It covers it all. Maybe a couple of illustrations will help you understand about this believing. If today you're in this building, you're here by God's appointment, not just because you stumbled in here by accident. Amen.
Amen.
God brought you here. He put you in this situation so you would hear this message about His Son who came to die for your sins. And now the only thing that stands between you and God and having eternal life is your belief or non-belief in Jesus Christ. And you're here. You say, I didn't. I just came. Well, you may have just came, but God's had you on His radar. God has put you around you, people that love you, that have nudged you toward, hey, come to church. And lo and behold, some skinny, bald-headed old preacher shows up and preaches the gospel to you. And you hear today and understand today clearly that if you're going to heaven, you're going to have to personally put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe a couple of illustrations to help you. In the Gospels, Jesus Christ said to one man who had been lame, that means he was paralyzed, he couldn't walk. He had been that way for 38 years. And Jesus said to him, take up your bed and walk. He said to another man that had a withered hand, stretch forth your hand. Now on both of those occasions, Jesus Christ gave the person a invitation and a command of obedience. And lo and behold, the man who had been told, rise up and walk, take up your bed and walk, he gets up. Now, I know it's not appropriate for Baptists, but I think he did a little two-step. I think he tried it out. I think he may have shifted around a little bit and thought, well, praise God. And then he gets his bed and puts it over and he leaves. He later shows up, but that's another story. But then the man with the withered hand, he's been embarrassed as well as disabled by his hand, and he stretched forth his hand and it's healed. Now, neither of those two men would have ever thought, look what I did. Look what I did. They may have tried to do that many times, but never able to. But the command of Jesus and the invitation to obey Christ translated into a man who had never walked to walk and to have his life back, and for a man who was disabled to have the full function of his hand, because innate in the command is the power to obey it. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. If you're here today without Christ, if you would incline your heart toward God, who's already inclined his heart toward you, and would today receive him by faith, you can have eternal life. Say, my, that seems so simple. Well, it's simple for us, but it wasn't simple for Christ. He gave up the glory of heaven to come to this sin-cursed world. He took upon himself a human body like yours and mine without a sin nature, lived a perfect life of obedience, willingly laid down his life, and he was crucified, was mocked and spat upon and ridiculed, despised and rejected of men, and died. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. It was sealed. 3 days later, he resurrected. He was seen of over 500 believers who saw it and believed it and understood. He is really alive. This is not a myth. This is not a fable. This is historical evidence that Jesus Christ literally is alive today. And he ascended back to heaven, and he's coming again.
Amen.
That's kind of the whole gospel. And that's our global message. All about him. And it's my prayer today that God has brought me here today with a simple gospel message so that you would say yes to this invitation to receive Christ as your own. And then for those of us who have already done that, to align our lives with that gospel, to be gospel people wherever we go, to be gospel families, whatever we do, to be a gospel church. You know, the old Baptist, the old unaffiliated Baptist that I was raised up around, after whom I'm named. I'm named after an old unaffiliated independent Baptist preacher by the name of Jerry Davis that founded the church that I pastored for 33 years. Those old churches were called gospel churches. And they were different from other Baptist churches in the sense that they took their missionary global vision seriously. And they planted churches and partnered with missionaries because they believed the gospel was the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. I would call you to believe today. I'm an ambassador of Christ, and I say in his stead, be reconciled to God. Come to him today. Your pastor will be here to receive you. Others on staff could help you if there's more than one of you, if there's several of you to come. They will be ready to assist you today. Stand with me for prayer, if you will, please. Father, today it's my prayer that you will have so empowered your word. Spirit of God has taken this personally into someone's life and someone's mind, someone's heart today. And through this great surgical event, you have opened somebody's heart today. And may today God's people in this building who have already had that transforming surgery, that they would pray and ask you to work in people's lives as they have this opportunity of changing their lives and changing their eternity. God, it's my prayer also that you will help all of us together today to refocus our lives, to rededicate our lives, to be gospel people to a world that needs the gospel. It's in your Son's name, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we ask this and pray. Amen. while you're standing, God blessing you with this time of invitation. Your pastor will be here to receive you. Those on staff will be able to help you. Receive Christ today. Confess your faith in Him today in this moment of invitation.